Hello, folks, and welcome back to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. You are listening to these Bible teachings through the funds that are earned at the Wash and Word. That's the hand car wash business that my wife and I own and operate. We're located on Highway 11W in Church Hill in the Powell Shopping Center. There we have opened up this car wash for the sole purpose of delivering God's Word to the public ear. And you can do that by coming into the parking lot any day of the week, any time of the day, 24/7. Tune your radio to 107.1 FM, and you can hear these Bible teachings being broadcast over the radio right here in the parking lot. We have a small radio transmitter that goes the legal radius of about 200 feet. And you can listen to these Bible teachings. Listen, we all need to hear from God once in a while, don't we? And maybe you need to hear a word from God, and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday, or it's 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday. Maybe it's Saturday at 3 in the morning. It doesn't matter. Come by the Wash and Word parking lot anytime. Tune to 107.1 FM. We want this area to be known as a place that you can go and hear the Word of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you have any questions about this business or this ministry, go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com, or call 423-920-0913. All right, we're going to get back into our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. Of course, we haven't read any verses in the last two teachings. We are currently in the middle of the introduction of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And so we're going to continue our introduction and our setup for this letter. If you've missed any of the sermons, again, you can go to washandword.com, click on the media tab, and you can download and listen to for free all of our archive messages over there. And we were talking about John as a person in our last teaching, and we mentioned that, you know, a lot of us want to serve God, but we're not sure where. And so I gave a help. You know, it's not a postulate truth, but it's something that might help you. And that was, if you're trying to determine what your calling is or what your ministry is or maybe what your gifts are, ask yourself, where was I and what was I doing when I first heard the Lord's voice? Where was I and what was I doing when I first heard the Lord's voice? And we talked about a few examples. Peter was a fisherman when he first heard the Lord's voice, and he went on to become a fisher of men. Paul was a tent maker, a builder, and he went on to build the first century church. Matthew was a tax collector, a Jew working for Gentiles, and he went on to write a gospel that connected the two of those together. But John differs from those examples, and he was called while he was mending his nets. Isn't that interesting? Because his written ministry did not come into print until later in the first century, as the second century Christians and church began to be founded. See, the church had already been around for decades at the time of John's writings. And so his writings are very corrective in nature. And so, since when he first heard the Lord, he was in the process of mending his nets, mending that which was broken, his life and ministry became one of mending what was breaking. And at this time of his writing, his true ministry was coming to light, and he was mending false teaching, Judaizers. He was calling men back to the truth, because the devil was working overtime in the first century church to keep them from departing from the law and entering into grace. You see, the devil loves the law. The law allows men to do things to earn their salvation or to earn their standing in the Lord. And Christ came to free us from that, because there's nothing we can do. The devil wants us to work, and God wants us to rest. And so John was ordained by the Lord to mend the nets of the broken Christian theology. So ask yourself, where was I? What was I doing when the Lord called me? And that might be a good clue to where God wants you. All right, let's now get back into our reading. Or start our reading. We're in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, and look at the first four verses. John starts off very similar to the Gospel of John. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this to make our joy complete. That is a really great opening. And then we see right away what John's focus and concern is about. You see, Peter's task was to talk about the kingdom. Paul was tasked to write about and to the church as a whole. But John is concerned with the family of God, and it all begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, all three of those disciples and authors that I just mentioned, they deal with the same thing, in a different aspect. But John has always been a very relational and intimate type of a guy. And we see that in his teaching. His teachings are very relational and intimate. He cried. He was the type of guy that cried when he watched The Notebook movie, you know? He was tough. He had to be tough. He stood there at the cross, the lone supporter of Jesus. So he was a tough guy, but he was also very sensitive, very in touch with his emotions. What we would call today is, I don't know what the word is, but a guy that's in touch with their emotions. And there's nothing wrong with that. Some might call him the girl of the bunch in a way, but not insultingly, just kiddingly. But he's kind of every woman's dream man in a sense, because what does a woman want? A woman wants a tough guy that will defend her and stand up and not back down from things. But she also wants that guy to be a sensitive, understanding, listening type of guy. And that's how I see John as. He was both of these things. And so these first four verses, kind of it's an overview, an introduction to the book itself. So we don't need a long study on these verses, but we'll pull a few things out from them that apply to the whole book of 1 John. For instance, there are four main reasons for John's writing. And we find those four reasons right here in the book of 1 John. And so the four reasons that John wrote these books are found in his book of 1 John, and they are in 1 John 1:4. It says, "We write this to make your joy complete," or our joy, he says, but it's the same. So, reason number one of John's writing, to make your joy complete. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin." So reason number two, he writes this so that you will not sin. These are his own words. 1 John 2:26, "I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray." So the third reason for his writing is false teaching. And John 5:13 says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." And so that's the fourth reason. Again, all in his own writing. He writes these things for your joy to be complete, so that you will not sin, you will be aware of false teaching, and that you will have confidence in your standing with Jesus Christ. So it's actually, if you look at it, I read those in order of dissension. That is, we started in those quotes in the first chapter, and they went all the way to the fifth chapter. It's sort of a descending scale of facts. So the first one was, "I write these things to you for the completion of your joy." So it starts with joy. And if I were to ask you, what is the one thing that kills our joy? The answer would be sin. sin. Sin will always kill your joy, because where do we find our joy? We find it in our fellowship with Jesus, in our fellowship with God. And when we sin, we sever that fellowship, and there is no joy apart from being in a sustaining relationship with Jesus. So sin destroys the joy. So he starts off with saying, I write this to you so that your joy will be complete. And then he says the second reason, I write this to you so that you will not sin, because sin is what kills joy. So to have joy, we do not sin. So what causes joy? Sin. What causes sin? Not to be over simplistic, but when we are led astray, well, that is the cause of sin. James tells us that we are enticed and led astray, and then we are then brought into sin. So we are brought to sin by being led astray or being taught falsely. You see how these are connected? What kills joy? Sin. What causes sin? False teaching. So how do we maintain this proper walk? And that would be the fourth thing he said he writes about, and that is the assurance of eternal life. The assurance of Jesus' love for you. The assurance of freedom and security. The assurance to do wonders and the desire to walk righteously. And that is one of the main benefits of salvation in Christ. So take that to heart. Four reasons, in John's own word, for writing these letters: to make your joy complete, so that you will not sin, so you won't be led astray, and that you'll have confidence in eternal life. What kills our joy? Sin. What causes us to sin? Being led astray. How do we avoid being led astray? Take faith and courage and rest in the finished work of Christ. It's awesome how he has these four things listed in the way he lists them. And looking again back at verse 1, where does he begin? He begins in the beginning. That which was from the beginning. Now there are three beginnings in the Bible. Of course, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And in the book of the Gospel of John, 1:1 also says, in the beginning was the Word. And we see it a third time here in 1 John, that which was from the beginning. Of course, there is no beginning to Christ's beginning, because he predates time. Christ always was. He was always there with God. In fact, Jesus created all things under the authority of his Father. And all things are being held together by and through Jesus himself. We read that in Colossians 1:15. But starting at an undefined origin is really hard for us humans to comprehend, isn't it? We think, well, that which was from the beginning. In the beginning. Okay, we can relate to that. But our finite minds, we must have an origin and we must have an ending. That's the problem with finite minds. That's the problem with human thinking, worldly wisdom. There must be a beginning and there must be an end. But I think God designs the concept of a beginning in this manner so that you and I would see that in Christ there is both no beginning and a new beginning. And I'm going to leave you with that thought. In Christ, there is both no beginning and a new beginning. That is to say that every second, every moment of our walk is a new day, a new opportunity, and a new beginning. But yet, there is no origin in Christ or of Christ. It's a paradox we can't fully understand, but we have an opportunity to start new every day in Christ, who has no beginning. Awesome. All right, we're going to end here on that. I want to invite you out to Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road. I preach there Sunday nights, and I do my live verse-by-verse Bible teaching. So come on out to there. Come by the Washing Word Let us know you're hearing these teachings. Let us wash your car. This is how we earn the money to keep this ministry alive. And again, if you have any questions or you want to hear any old sermons or anything about the business or the ministry, go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. Till then, have a blessed day. Hope to see you at the Wash and Word.